I'll be reading James chapter 4, verses 13 through 17. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we'll go into such a city, and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get grain. Whereas ye that know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live, and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin.
My name is Brandon Treat, and I am the youth and family minister here. And today I'm kind of just the warm-up for the main attraction, which is our graduating seniors. Today we're going to honor them a little bit later on in our service. And I get to be a part of that, and I'm very excited, and I'm very proud, and I'm happy that we have this many people here to celebrate that with them. And so we'll get to that later, but before that, I want to give you a message today that I felt was timely for them, but it's something that I needed as well. I needed a makeover of the way that I view time, because it's at times like this in graduation where we really start thinking about our time, how we spent our time. And I'll talk more about that in a minute, but when I started kind of going down this path, kind of thinking about time and what I wanted to talk about specifically, I kind of started Googling different things, and you know, that leads to rabbit holes here and there. But one of the things I found that I thought was interesting is how many commonly used phrases in the English language we use that they all have to do with time. There's so many cliche statements we say all the time, like, it's the time of your life, or it's about time, or all these different time things. Time is of the essence, and the list goes on and on, and there's things that I've said, and there's things I've heard, and there's things probably you've said. They all have to do with time. Why I think that's interesting is because I think it shows a simple fact that time matters. Time is important to everyone. Time transcends what you believe. Whether you believe in Jesus or whether you don't believe in Jesus, you are forced to deal with time. That's a fact. We all, every single day, are going to have to decide on our own how we're going to manage our time. We have to deal with time. Time flies is another one of those cliche statements, but we have to deal with that. And so today, that's what I want to talk to you. I want to talk to you about, as Christians, how should we approach this topic of time? And I'm 25 years old, so obviously I know all about it. But seriously, I think it's so important how we view time as Christians. And here's something that I've realized that I think is sad. Is right now we're talking about seniors that have graduated, and it's at this kind of milestone, really, where you look back and you go, wow, I shouldn't have done that. Or I should have studied more. I should have practiced more. I should have focused more on that friendship. I should have. And you look back and you really start at the end evaluating your time. Right? And that's kind of a staple of milestones in our life, right? Whenever we move away from somewhere, we look back at our time we spent there and we think, how did I spend my time? Should I have done this? Should I have done that? And one example that's real is whenever someone passes away, a lot of time it's at that moment where we go, oh, I wasted so much time with them. I should have called more. I should have talked more. And I want to say it's good to reminisce. It's good to learn. That's how we grow in wisdom, is by looking back. But what's sad about that, and at least in my life, is that why do we wait till the end to evaluate how we're going to spend our time in the moment? Why do we wait till our milestone is over? Why do we wait till high school's over? Why do we wait until someone passes away to then say, I'm going to evaluate the way I've spent my time? Why don't we do that every day? As Christians or non-Christians, I believe that we have an opportunity with our time to take it very intentional. Make our time intentional to not be people that look back and think about how they wasted it, but people that approach every single day saying, what can I get out of my time today? How can I enhance my relationships today? How can I enhance whatever today? And so what I want to talk about is, as followers of Jesus, or as people considering following Jesus, what our perspective of time, I believe, we're challenged to change to. And for people that have been following Jesus, I know that I needed to hear, or I needed to study this for my life too. And I'm going to mainly just look at two different passages today about this concept. And the first passage I want to look at is the one that Sam, who, that's one of our new interns, that read that verse for us today. And it's James chapter 4, these couple verses here. I'm going to read it again to you. Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. Why? You do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes. All such boasting is evil. If anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is a sin for them. So the reality of those couple verses is there's so much wisdom there that we could literally do a whole sermon series on that, just pulling different truths from that. But this morning, I just want to hone in on two truths that I see in here, and I think that should change our perspective as followers of Jesus, change our perspective. The first one is in verse 14, and it says this. James says this, you are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. And we hear that, and it kind of like plays a trick on our brain, because naturally we would kind of think, well, that's kind of depressing, right? Like, your life is so short, it doesn't matter, right? Is that what James is saying? No. What James is saying is, you can't see it. You can't see it right now, but your life is so much more than your 80 years here on earth. Your 80 years or whatever that number is on earth are a mist, are a dot on the timeline of your life. I love this illustration from Francis Chan. I didn't bring in a rope today, but it's a rope illustration. So I want you to imagine that there's a rope that I'm holding, that you can see the end right here. The end of it goes on beyond what you can see. And that rope represents the timeline of your life, your whole existence. And the end that I'm holding, there's one piece of tape on that piece, that on that string. That piece of tape on the timeline of your existence that you can't even see the end of, you can't fathom the end of, that's how much of that time you will be spending here on earth. And what's crazy is that Satan gets us so obsessed with that time. We think, I'm going to work really hard here so I can retire here. I'm going to have a really fun vacation right here. But what we don't see is God has so much more in store for us. God's plan is so much bigger. God wants so much more out of our lives than we can see. And we get so focused on the end, that the fact that we're a mist. And I want to say something too, because there's times where life gets really hard. And life might not feel like a mist. It might feel like it's struggling. But that's just us being blinded by the fact that all we can see is this earth. So the first perspective change that I think we have to strive for when we think about time is that we have to strive to see our time through an eternal lens. See our time, knowing, not in a depressing way, but in a freeing way, that God has so much more in store for our lives than what we see in our whatever years on earth we have. And I think we got to start there, and I think that's why James kind of starts off there in kind of talking about this, is that we are a mist. And so I want to get to the second perspective change that I see in this passage, and it's this. In verse 15 he says, if it is the Lord's will. If the Lord wills it, I will have tomorrow. The Lord willed it for me to have today. It's become a cliche statement in the mainstream, but each day is a gift. And another way that I like to say it that I think makes it better and a little less cliche is each day is proof that the grace of God still exists. Every day I wake up is proof that the grace of God still exists in my world. And I want to share this statement that I heard, this analogy that I heard from a speaker named Ravi Zacharias, and I'll try to read it. But listen along because I think it's beautiful. The elementary school teacher writes this. He came to my desk with a quivering lip. The lesson was done. Have you a new sheet for me, teacher? I've spoiled this one. He took his sheet, all soiled and blotted. I gave him a new one, all unspotted. And into his tired heart I cried, do better, my child. I went to the throne with a trembling heart. The day was done. Have you a new day for me, dear master? I've spoiled this one. He took my day, all soiled and blotted, and gave me a new one, all unspotted. And into my tired heart he cried, do better, my child. If we could see our time on this earth, if we could see our life through this lens, it could change everything. Every morning that we wake up and we have breath is not promised, it's a gift, and it's proof that the grace of God still exists. It's proof that God's saying, Brandon, I'm not done with you yet. Each day is a gift. I think that with those two truths in mind, it can completely change the way we as Christians, we as followers of Jesus, approach time. Because at times the lines blurry of how we're viewing it any different than those who do not believe. And so the second passage I want to go to with kind of trying to, like I said, give a makeover to the way we see time. I want to look at this passage that Paul writes in Ephesians. It's Ephesians 5, starting in verse 15. He says, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. So a common phrase in pop culture, a common idea, is this idea of, like, you only live once. Carpe diem, seize the day, you only have one shot. And it's this idea that I have to take advantage of every moment because my life's so short. And sometimes it's used in positive influence ways, and sometimes it's used in pretty negative ways. But the reality is, Scripture kind of says a similar thing, but we have to look at this through the lenses with which I just discussed. Because what Paul here says is in verse 16 is, make the most of every opportunity. Every day we wake up is a gift. Every day God is presenting us with other opportunities to serve, to love, to live for Him. What are you going to do with that opportunity? And here's something that I think kind of changes and makes this verse even more beautiful to me. Is where is Paul sitting when he's writing these words? Paul's sitting in a prison cell. So you're sitting in a place that's made to punish humans. You're sitting in a place where you're not allowed access to anyone or anything. And Paul is penning the words, make the most of every opportunity God's given you. Even when I woke up in a jail cell this morning, he took that time as opportunity to pin the words to a letter that we're still studying today. Even on your worst days, even on the days where it doesn't make sense, life doesn't feel like a gift. Life feels like a gift you want to return to sender. Life feels more like a punishment than a gift. God, by you waking up that morning, by you having breath, God's grace is saying, I'm not done with you yet. So the question then becomes, what are you going to do with these opportunities? God's putting opportunities in front of you daily. I believe that. What are you going to do with those opportunities? A concept we talk about a lot when we gather together is we talk about stewardship, right? And we talk about that at the offering. We talk about that when we're taking a collection so that we can do the ministries here. And that's important and that's really good. But in 1 Peter 4:10, Peter talks about all types of gifts the Lord gives us. We ought to be stewards of those gifts. And so we've just acknowledged this morning that time is a gift that we're given. Every day we wake up is a gift that we're given. And so the question for you is, are you going to be a steward of the gift of time that God's given you? Because like it said in that first passage, we can't start tomorrow. We're not promised tomorrow. We have to start today. And so the question that, and my lesson's a little shorter this morning because we got other stuff going on today. But I want to end this with a question of what opportunities is God putting in front of you today? The fact that you woke up this morning, I mean, God's not done with you yet. Whether you just graduated high school or whether you graduated high school 40 years ago, God has given you the gift of time. God's given you the gift of today. And don't let this world, don't let the broken world change your view and blind you to those perspectives we talked about, that we're living for something so much more. And each day is a gift. So I want to say that to seniors, and I'll say that again later, but I want to say that to you guys and to me. I need that too. Is what opportunities is God putting in front of me today? And so this morning, if there is anything on your heart that you want to pray about, that you want to talk about, we're going to give you an opportunity right now as we stand and sing, where there will be some shepherds and their wives in the back. Thank you.